Well, you know, last year I went on a tour for 5.5 weeks to Eastern Europe. It was amazing. It was so good. And when I was on that tour, I went to this city. It's called Novi Sad, and it's in Serbia. And it was lovely, and the tour was about to go, but I thought, you know what? I've got time. I'm going to go for a walk first. Oh, mistake. Anyway, so, you know, I go for a walk, and then I walk, you know, when you walk through one sort of shopping centre and then you walk out a different way? Well, that's what happened. I walked out, and I didn't know where I was. I was lost. Now, think about this. I'm lost in a place in Serbia where they don't speak English much, and I don't speak Serbian. I don't know the name of the hotel that I was staying at. I don't know the street. I don't have a clue. We've only been there for one night. Not exciting. I had this like little mini like panic attack, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get left in Serbia the rest of my life. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How much money have I got? I'm thinking all of these things, like how long can I last on this, what I've got? Oh yeah, I don't know. It's just mental. It was the only place. I mean, I had Apple Maps everywhere, but in Serbia, I can't get the data for that. So I had no Apple Maps, no map, no nothing. And then this thought occurred to me. Maybe I should ask God for direction. I know, being the great Christian that I am. But anyway, that was like 10 minutes down, believe me. And then I'm thinking, oh, wow. Let's ask God, you know, after my little like, where am I? And the moment I put my thoughts to God and said, God, you know, I need your help. I'm lost. I remembered a church. It's actually the highest church in Novi Sad. It's called the Church of the Name of Mary. They name their churches lots of different things. But anyway, I remember that church, which is close to the hotel. And it's the highest, and it's got the steeple. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the church. So I'm looking, and I can just see the top of that steeple. And so I'm able to just follow the steeple back to there and found my hotel. Like, come on. But that's what can happen in life. You know what? It happens in life. It can happen where you feel a little bit lost. You might feel even today a little bit off track, a little bit like I don't know where I'm going, a little bit uncertain, a little bit unclear about what 2025 looks like, you know, a little bit confused. Sometimes life does that, but when you look to God for direction, He removes the confusion. He removes the anxiety. He brings clarity. He brings a sense of peace, and He's always available when we tune into Him. And that is just it. It's our choice. We can hear from God. He's always speaking, always. But it's whether we tune into Him to hear what He's saying. So this next 3 weeks, like today and another 2 weeks, our theme is divine direction. Divine direction. The most powerful thing that we can do is begin the year to receive divine direction directly from God. In this series, we're creating space and for you to be inspired to hear God's prophetic word for you to launch into 2025. So it's an amazing series. And that's what I meant by you're going to hear from God. You might be here today and you don't have a relationship with God. I'm going to give you an opportunity for that later. But even if you feel here today that you don't hear God, you don't have a relationship with Him, I just know you're going to hear Him. He wants a relationship with you. So I'll give you that opportunity a little bit later. So the title of my message is Hearing God's Word for Your Year. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But the new year, it's not just the turning of a calendar. It's an invitation to reset. It's an invitation to refocus and realign with the plans that God has for us. I mean, a couple of people here I've already spoken to that went away out in the country, no TV, no distractions, for a couple of days to realign and refocus with God. That's what can happen. You might not do that, but it's just taking that time, setting aside to actually focus on God. In Proverbs 28:19, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. but blessed is he who keeps the law. Prophetic vision is divine revelation or direction given through the Holy Spirit. That's what prophetic vision is. This it can come through prophecy, like the word for Beck this morning, that came prophetically. It can come from reading the Bible. Most of the way that God speaks to you is through his word. His word is powerful. It's alive. It's living. It's living. You can read the word of God and then kaboom, something just lights up to you and bam, there it is. Oh, it's exciting. You can listen to preaching and something that might be said just sticks in your head. You can hear the word of God on podcasts. You can have dreams in the night that God can speak to you. Impressions, things that God puts on your heart about things. Pictures, lots of different ways to hear from God. And some people see more pictures than they hear thoughts. I probably hear more thoughts than I see pictures. I still see pictures, but a lot of my revelation from God comes through thoughts. And for a little while, it was a bit hard to figure out, like, you know, I thought I was really smart coming up with all these awesome thoughts, but it wasn't actually me, it was God. So that's what I mean. A lot of the time you can tell because he's so much smarter than us. He is. I mean, you know, we might have an IQ of whatever, but he, you know, he's got all the IQ. He's all-knowing. He is. He's ever-present. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything that's going to happen in your future. He knows what you had for breakfast. He doesn't care. But anyway, but he knows. He knows everything about you. He knows the plan that he has for you. Josh talked about it. God's got a plan for you. He's got purpose for you. He knows. He knows. So there's lots of different ways of hearing. So prophetic vision, that's what it is. It's hearing from the Holy Spirit. And then it says people will cast off restraint. So without that divine direction, we lose focus. We lose discipline. We can lose purpose, and it can lead to chaos or it can lead to stagnation. Have you ever felt like you're just in the same place over and over again? Another year comes and you're still in the same place in some area of your life. Stagnation. It happens because we don't have any vision of where we're going. So that's why we're looking at divine direction. So how can we receive divine direction? Oh, the main thing is we need to trust God. We need to trust him and we need to surrender to him. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." Now that's saying, you know, don't try and figure out everything yourself. I mean, I'm like that. I just want to know. Don't try and figure everything out yourself. Don't lean on what makes sense to you. But trust God, and he will get you to where you're going. You know, sometimes we'll ask for God's advice, but then we just don't really want to do it his way. I don't know if you've ever done that. I have, but I've learned to trust God and surrender. That's what surrendering is about. Not trying to work everything out, but surrender to him and let him lead you in the way. If we look at Moses, like Moses is in the book of Exodus in the Bible, God told him to go to the Pharaoh and free the Israelites. Now, Moses argued with God. He said, "Who am I to do this? Who am I?" He had excuses, he had fears, he had doubts, but God didn't give up on him. And Moses did it. With God's guidance, he got the Pharaoh to free the Israelites. See, God doesn't, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. He's already put a call and a gift and a purpose inside of you. Already, it's there, already. Whether you're following him is really up to you. It is up to you. So sometimes we just need to stop trying to figure out why God chose you. Why did God choose you? You know what? Sometimes you just got to say, you know, stop trying to figure it out and just start saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, I know you put the gift in me. Choose me, pick me, pick me." Okay, this is not a basketball team. This is the kingdom of God. He's placed that gift on the inside of you. Already it is there. But he wants you to say, "Hey, here I am. Use me, send me, help me, encourage me to do what you've called me to do. So, I don't know, are there any planners in the house? People who like to plan? Oh, look, I bet you guys plan to be here today. Yeah. I'm kind of a little bit of a planner, you know. I'm a planner. I'm a what do you call it? A wardrobe planner. A bit of a hidden planner. I try to think that I'm spontaneous, but I do like to plan as well. I like to know where I'm going, for example. I want to know where I'm going, how I'm going to get there, and I want to know what happens along the way. But God, he doesn't work like that, I've found out. He doesn't give us a five-year plan. He might give us a promise, but he doesn't give us the five-year plan to do it. We might make one, but he gives us the promise, and then he gives us one step. He says, trust me with the first step. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is a lamp. It's like on your bedside table, it's a lamp. It only lights up a little bit. It's not a floodlight. It doesn't show you the whole journey. It shows you just enough to take the next step. Oh, I prefer floodlights, but God's word is a lamp. It is a lamp. But if we just take that one step, he gives us another step. He gives us another step. He gives us another step. So back to Moses. He did free the Israelites from slavery. And now they're in the wilderness. But while they were in the wilderness, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years, while they were there, God led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. He led them in the wilderness. So they're out there in the desert. They're getting led by a cloud in the daytime and fire by night. God led them the whole 40 years, one day at a time. He just enough for the one day. We don't have to bite off everything immediately. He didn't give them a 40-year itinerary. He didn't. He gave them just enough for the day. So God doesn't give us the whole plan. And sometimes, do you know what? He's just trying to be kind. Because if he showed you the whole plan that he has for you, sometimes we would run in the other direction. I mean, quite a few years ago, I was faced with a decision that just didn't make sense in the natural. Didn't make sense. I mean, it wasn't even making sense to me. I'm thinking, no. I mean, I fought it for quite a long time about leaving a full-time job to work one day at church. I didn't even have to leave my job to do that. I could have just gone part-time and worked one day, but God told me to leave and let it go. I mean, I had major controlling issues where it came to finances. I want to make sure I'm secure if I don't have enough. So God was working in me. So I'm not saying do not leave your job. This was a word from God for me. Now, I didn't just think about it. It was over a six-month period. But I got scriptures. I had dreams. Someone prophesied over me that it was a new season. All these things. And even though I fought it and I just didn't want to leave, in the end, I had so much confirmation. I was getting to the stage where I was going to be disobedient if I didn't. So I left that job, and had I known what was going to happen in the year ahead of that, I would never have left. Never. I mean it. And that's what I mean by God only shows you one step. He was just telling me, go. But had I known, because that next year was one of the toughest years financially I've ever had. It was. It was a really rough year. And I had to trust God. I had to trust him. So many things happened in my life at that time that changed the whole landscape of my finances and my life. It made me grow in faith and trust God. And he showed me in that time that he was my provider. He blessed me unexpectedly in a crazy way, which supernatural way. So looking back now, I know that that was, you know, my first step to the bigger picture. You've got to think, like, what's the next step for you in the bigger picture? Sometimes, I wanted to see, and that's why sometimes God won't show you everything. He'll just show you now, this next step. So we've got to trust the process, not just the promise. So God gives us a promise, but he doesn't always show us the process. And that's where it can be frustrating. Like, think about Joseph. I talked about him earlier. God gave him a dream of leadership. But then what happened? He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and thrown into prison. It didn't look like the dream was coming true. But God was working behind the scenes the whole time. In Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So Joseph said that to his brothers about their past actions, how they'd betrayed them. It ended up being turned around like they might have intended to harm him, but God intended it for good. You know, Joseph ended up using his gift to interpret the dreams of others in prison. That led him to interpreting Pharaoh's dream and about a pending famine. And he was promoted to the second in charge. And there is where he saved many, many lives, including the lives of his family. So God intended it for good. So I don't know, who has ever baked a cake? Come on, all you bakers. Oh, Victor, I can't believe you've not. Have you not baked a cake before, Victor? Oh, my goodness. Somebody help Victor bake a cake. Josh, have you baked a cake? Oh, yeah, he thinks so. It was not memorable. Okay. Anyway, so if you taste the ingredients one by one, so, you know, you get the flour and you taste that. Or you get the raw eggs and you taste that. I mean, some of you might drink raw eggs. Is that you, Ben? Towards that, do you drink raw eggs? You know, probably, no. But, you know, you just taste the raw ingredients. Or you taste the baking soda. Ooh, yuck. They don't taste good. But when they're mixed together and they're baked, it makes something amazing. Tastes incredible. And that's what God does in our lives. With that one step, we can't, you know, some things, that one step, it might not look that fantastic at the time on the way to your promise, but it's taking that and the next one and the next ingredient and putting it all together. So what I'm going to encourage you to do right now is to hear the word of God for you, for your year. I mean, I've done this for many, many years now. Like, just get a personal word from God for your year. And why do you do that? Because it encourages you. It brings focus to your year. It helps you to make decisions. It brings clarity in the midst of uncertainty. It brings courage when you're faced with challenges. His word strengthens you. His word anchors your faith and keeps you moving forward. So God wants to tell us and lead us. The Bible does say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So he's not silent about his plans for your life. And in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Plans for you. Plans for you, Ruth. Plans for you online watching. Plans for you, Lee. Plans for Gemma. He's got a plan for each and every one. He's got plans for everyone. So how do we do this? You know, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." The Holy Spirit will lead you by giving you those different ways that I spoke about, pictures, impressions, thoughts, lots of different ways. So this is how, a few points that I've used to get a word from God for my year. I've actually got my word for this year, which I'll share with you in a little bit. So my first point here is to seek God in prayer and fasting. Oh my goodness, using the F word already. Fasting, that's right. But it's amazing, like, because fasting actually makes you spiritually sensitive. It just increases. Not only can you use your own senses better, you can smell better and hear better, but spiritually, you can hear better. You see things with your eyes that you wouldn't normally see. So fasting, and you might just have a day fast, a few days fast. I've had lots of different ways that I fast when I'm looking for my word for the year. Like this year, I fasted 3 days just from, I had one meal a day and that was at night while I was just seeking and searching God. And it's amazing. When you make a commitment to fast, it's almost immediate. As soon as I started fasting, honestly, I just started hearing God better. It's amazing. So when you make a commitment and dedicate and pray, so take some time, dedicate a place, and it might be at home or it might be away. It's up to you, whatever works for you, but try and get away from distractions. Get away, even if it's for an hour or 2 hours or half a day or a day, whatever it is, just get away. Might be in your room, but just make space for time for God to talk to you. Not like your normal quiet time. This is a different dedicated time where you're pushing into God for a word from Him for your year. So, and then you start getting, you know, you might want to ask yourself some questions. You might want to ask, you know, what do I need to grow in this year? You might know some things that are coming up. What am I going to do and need to be able to do this year? Those sorts of things. What's going on? Where do I feel like God is leading me this year? Where do I feel like God is focusing and wants me to focus on this year? So you start to get a sense of a word. You pay attention to the themes around you and also the things that keep coming to your heart. Honestly, a lot of these things, I'll see it in the Word of God. I'll have a dream about it. I'll think about it. I'll get thoughts. I'll get a scripture. Then I might be watching TV, and I'm not joking, just a normal TV program, and that scripture will come on, or a particular word will happen. It just, that's what happens. When you are alive and awake to hearing from God, He'll speak to you however He can. You might be into songs. He'll speak to you in a song. He does. He chooses what works for you. So listen to the Holy Spirit. He's your guide. Might come like a gentle whisper. Another thing that I do is I get out my previous prophecies, because prophecies can actually help you. They can stir up what God has spoken over you before. But my point two, so after we seek God in prayer and fasting, we spend time in the Bible. We read the Word of God, because God speaks through His written Word. The Holy Spirit will highlight a verse to you or a passage to you or a character in the Bible to you that resonates with your spirit, because His Word is living and powerful. It's active. It's active. And He will never give you a word that contradicts His Word. You're not going to get a word like thief for your year. Steal. Kill. No. Even though those words are in the Bible, they're not God's ways and they're not His heart. So it won't contradict His word. It will align with the Word of God. So pray and fast, spend time in the Bible, and then the third one is to write it down. In Habakkuk, it talks about write the vision and make it plain. When God impresses a word upon you, write it down. Write it down. And then sometimes you can go through a thesaurus and you look at the different ways, because sometimes that word leads you to the actual word. Look at the different ways of the word. You might want to Google it, scriptures for it, and then have a look at that. I mean, I've had lots of different previous words. I've had growth, dream, joy, family, trust, learn, change, new wine. That was an awesome year. No, it was adventure. Was in 2023, it was adventure. And 2024, last year, was radical. I didn't like that word. I didn't want it. I tried lots of things. I went through the thesaurus, looking for a word better than radical, because I'm thinking, nope, sounds like danger to me. Danger. But everything was all about radical. So I ended up having to write that down. And throughout 2024, things were radical. The scripture that I had for it was Isaiah 48:3. Long ago, I told you what was going to happen. Then suddenly I took action and all my predictions came true. That was the scripture I got with that. I thought, whoa, you know, God's been telling me something for a long time. He's been telling me. And suddenly I took action. So that was the radical. And I had a really radical year. I mean, I've tried so many. I said about my trip to Europe, so many radical different foods. Some of them were like, ah. Some of them were nice, but they're like real radical experiences, like lots of different things that I wouldn't have done maybe if my word for the year was not radical. So this is how a word, even some of the decisions I made, I thought, nah, not doing that, out of my comfort zone. But this year, it's a radical year, so I'm going to do it. This is what happens when you get a word for you. It directs you. It helps you make decisions. So this year, my word is seek, S-E-E-K, seek. So I did fast, as I talked about, read the Bible, and I just started to get the word, seek. Everything was about, everything I was reading, what was highlighting to me was about eyes and about the word seek. Eyes, seek, eyes, seek. It's like I spy. No, I seek, I seek. So I wrote down seek, and I thought, I wonder if this is it. So I didn't pick it straight away, because I thought, oh no, I looked at the thesaurus, I thought search and discover, I thought, oh, those are awesome words, but it kept coming back to seek. And then I started getting the scripture, which was in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And it was like, as soon as I read that, because I was reading the book of Matthew, as soon as I read that, boom, I knew it was seek. And it was, I wrote a few things down, like seek calls me to action, to hunger and to prioritize God, to seek God's presence, his righteousness, to live his ways, to let God shape my decisions and press into the Holy Spirit for guidance, breakthrough and transformation, seeking out a desire for more of him, for his anointing and for his purposes to be fulfilled in my life. I wrote that, you know, because it just started to come to me, that seek. And then I got what seeking is not. And I wrote this down too, because I've got to remind myself, you know, seeking is not striving in my own strength. Right. Yeah. Because that's what I can tend to do. God will give me a great idea, like, awesome! Off I go, yeah, that's right. Not your way, my way. No, no, no. Not striving in my own strength. Right. Seek God first in everything. Even though he may give you something, seek him first on how. On how to do it. The other thing that seeking is not being anxious of the unknown. Right. Seek God first. Oh, he's so good. So what I did, I've written it down on the top of my goals. Well, last year, I haven't done this year's goals yet. I'm getting there. We've got goal anointing on the 26th of January this year. You can start thinking about your goals for the year. These are my 2024 goals. Radical is the word at the top here. And at the back is the scriptures that I had for that, which, I mean, I laminated only because I'm like walking around with my goals. I love doing that, but we're not talking about goals, we're talking about the word. So I put it there. This year, I mean, I'm going to put seek on the top of my goals, but I made a widget as well this year for my phone. Like, so I've got the word seek. Every time my phone opens, I see it. Every time, because it's the thing I look at the most. So I'm not going to forget my word. So what works for you? Is it putting it in the bathroom? Whatever. Just put it somewhere where you will know what it is. So seek God in prayer and fasting. Spend time in the Bible and write it down. Hey, let's close your eyes. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to help us very soon to hear from you. To hear a word for you. I thank you that we can come to you, that you've got a plan and a purpose for us, that you've placed gifts on the inside of us, that you're stirring up right now. We thank you, Lord, that when we have your word for the year, it gives us direction throughout the year. It encourages us. It brings clarity. It brings hope. It gives us faith. It gives us courage to go forward. Thank you, Lord, for every person here. In Jesus' name, amen.